Radio presents a conversation.
I want to make one thing perfectly clear.
A dialogue.
What are you prepared to do?
An astute debate.
Everything that's in the law.
And a peek behind the curtain of politics.
And then what are you prepared to do?
I think Chicago is not only the center of the country, I think it's the center of the world.
Don't tread on them.
Where did this statement come from?
This is the Sunday Spin. Your host is the Chicago Tribune's Rick Pearson.
Good Sunday afternoon. Welcome to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. Obviously, we're awaiting the president's meeting with the coronavirus task force, the daily up brief. Roger, we had Governor Pritzker today speaking with the Illinois update. We're now 30,357 total cases, up 1,197 today, right. 1,290 total fatalities, that's up 33, down significantly from the previous days.
But again, right. As it was mentioned earlier, yeah. Those numbers were up and down, and, right. And one day down is not something, it's positive, but it's not something that you can trend and bring forward yet.
Right. No, yeah. You need to see a kind of sustained pathway to really mean anything.
Yeah.
Read an interesting story, you know, in the governor's daily briefings. He's asked every day now, you know, when is the stay-at-home order going to be relaxed? And it's the same answer. The science dictates it. And we'll know. I mean, we'll know. I'm not sure the productivity of asking that question every day. But one thing he was asked recently, and this has also been something that I think was a shared question with the White House about kind of a regional reopening of maybe certain counties and those kinds of things. And, you know, you've got a group down in deep downstate Illinois who they've been the ones fomenting the protest of wanting to separate Chicago from the rest of the state.
That's centuries old.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's where some of this chatter is coming from. And there's a very good story online in the SouthernIllinoisan.com, the Southern Illinoisan newspaper, about Randolph County. And it was originally one of these counties that, you know, hadn't seen a case. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now I believe we're up to like 93 of the counties of the 102 counties in the state have a case. But here's Randolph County, which is down by Chester, where the Menard Correctional Center is.
Mm-hmm.
Chester, the home of Popeye.
There you go. Yeah, sure.
How it hadn't had, you know, it hadn't really had any case. Mm-hmm. And it turned out a social gathering experience that occurred before the governor's orders to avoid gatherings,
close gatherings,
led to five cases.
Oh my god.
And then that spread, and it spread to a plant in Chester, and contributed to the death of the founder of this plant, this 81-year-old who and they're basically kind of a warehouse stockpiler for food supplies. And they had taken steps for the workers, they didn't do it for the front office, apparently. They didn't consider that as, like, people being in close proximity.
Right.
That's where it spread.
But anytime you're in a business, anytime you're in a store, anywhere where you're going to walk within 6 feet of someone at some point, and again, you don't have to
look at the sidewalk.
It's been proven you can still get it even if no one's walking past you. If you happen to be in an area where somebody who has the virus was working, touching surfaces and stuff, and you go in 10 minutes later and you start looking for papers or this or that, you can still contact that infection. Now, how your body reacts to it is something else. But this virus, as the scientists have been saying, as the doctors have been saying, this does not stay at borders. This virus, as the flu, as a cold, as something, infection like that, can be picked up anywhere where someone has been.
Sure, and that's why, you know, this idea of kind of a regional reopening or that kind of thing, because, you know, down in that county, half the county's farmland. So it's like, mm-hmm. oh, well, there's automatically distancing. Well, right. it doesn't work that way
right.
necessarily.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's why we spray everything down here.
Mm-hmm.
Hope you're doing that at home as well. Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, we're still learning.
And
I think that's the part that people forget. And yeah, sure, everybody's frustrated at being cooped up.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is. It's natural.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we're still learning about this. We didn't know really about the asymptomatic test ability
right.
of this to pass.
Right, exactly. And even the doctors in the briefings, our state health director, the federal health officials that come in with the president, they're still learning. The doctors trying to put together these tests to help find the source and to help control the spread of this. Everyone's learning as they go along. This is a new virus, and not new that it's never been seen before, but it's a virus that acts differently than where it came from, the viruses from before it. So that's the same thing with the flu.
Well, and
why do people keep getting the flu every year when they've had the shot the year before? Because that next year's flu has changed. The properties of it has changed. Then they have to come out with another flu shot.
Right. And this is not a flu
no.
strain.
No.
And that's been part of the problem mm-hmm. in trying to come up with new vaccines is
yeah.
because you're adapting to an entirely different kind of virus here.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be over soon.
No. No, it will be over. I think when it is over, I know I'll be standing there going, "Wait, is it all done?" Yeah, I mean, kind of not in a shock, but kind of in a, are you sure this is it?
Right.
We're like everyone else. You know, we've got things planned. We've got things we'd like to do, and we need to hunker down. We need to make sure we're safe. We need to make sure that our loved ones are safe, and we need to do our best to deal with this. Again, just want to remind everyone, we will be going to the president's press briefing here as soon as the task force and the president come into the press briefing room. We are waiting for them, and we will bring that to you as soon as it happens.
Well, I noticed, too, we've seen in other states these protests that have been going on at state capitals in mm-hmm. Wisconsin and Michigan. And
there's some in Indiana today.
Right, and yeah. the president's tweets of last week about, you know, liberate Minnesota, liberate Wisconsin, liberate Virginia, your Second Amendment rights are at stake.
Mm-hmm.
And this all coming the day after he laid out what many people thought was a very good phased in approach to what, you know, how do we get to reopening
mm-hmm.
the country. And so you go from that step to, you know, and obviously the president learning that it is up to the governors to decide, it's not by presidential fiat. But after saying about how, you know, he'd be working with the governors, then to put out these liberate statements for various states. And, you know, there were some folks down in Springfield today at the state capitol. I think, you know, one picture kind of summed it up for me that I saw on Twitter was a woman shouting in front of a Baskin-Robbins store about tyranny. I like Baskin-Robbins.
I do, too.
But, you know, it's not on my essentials list.
You're saying she probably could have picked a more appropriate, significant location?
If you're protesting about an inability to get what you think is essential, I wouldn't be standing outside an ice cream shop.
I gotcha.
You know?
Yeah. Makes sense.
I mean, just... but it's to this day, despite the increase in cases, despite the increase in deaths, and we know, going back to the numbers, that deaths lag behind mm-hmm. the case reports. So
and the case reports also lag behind testing.
Correct.
So,
but I think, you know, we hear testing mm-hmm. now is kind of the mantra. But we're in for a different kind of testing too. This isn't you get tested once and you're over it,
right?
I mean, this will require repeated testing, mm-hmm. Serology for antibody testing, mm-hmm. and contact tracing.
Because, again, as we mentioned before, there is so much we still don't know about this. We don't know that if you survive the a first infection, or if you have it in you but you don't have any symptoms, asymptomatic, then can this come back up in 6 months, 12 months, whenever.
Right.
You know, is this a recurring situation like the flu once a year? We're used to that. We know when it's flu season. But we don't know with this yet because there's no evidence. We don't know if there's going to be either COVID-19 coming back, nor do we know if the COVID-19 could change. The chemistry of it could change into something else.
Absolutely.
So it's something that we need to look towards the doctors, the scientists, to make sure that they have the ability to do as much testing. And I think we're in that phase now. We're in that testing phase on several serums or tests that the doctors and scientists are working on.
This is Rick Pearson. You're listening to the Sunday Spin. We're awaiting the White House Corona Task Force briefing with the president. We're going to step away for a quick break. This is WGN.
This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
Good Sunday afternoon. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. Welcome to this likely abbreviated session of the Sunday Spin. We're awaiting President Trump's appearance in the Brady press room at the White House for the daily White House Coronavirus Task Force briefing report. Roger and I kind of just going over some of the news here of the day. And I had a chance to watch some of the Sunday shows, and I kind of found it interesting. You know, we're getting to the point, obviously, we keep talking about reopening economy. We have Governor Pritzker's stay-at-home order, which is effective till April 30th. I'm not going to speak for the governor, but I think we all know that we're likely to see an extension of that, certainly by virtue of the fact that we've already announced that the schools will remain closed for the remainder of the school year. But I do have to wonder if there aren't going to be at least some, I guess I would say, good faith show of effort here to mitigate some of the social distancing, stay-at-home issues, such as New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut opening maritime action, Roger.
Right. I saw that opening up some of the docks. I didn't read the whole story. I don't know if it was for the social sailing or for shipments or for some of the trades.
Well, this was for social.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, I myself have wondered something, you know, when you look at things like fishing, which tends to be a more kind of solitary. You never catch fish when you're stuck with people in the same boat.
Yeah, they scare the fish away. I've heard that.
Trust me, it's true.
Oh, okay.
Especially when you're taking the kids out for their first fishing trip.
And they're so excited, and then all the fish run away.
Well,
swim away.
First you have the screaming of putting the worm on the hook.
Oh, okay.
You know?
I got that, yeah.
And so that doesn't work. And then if they're fortunate enough to catch a fish, then there's the screams again because there's a hook in its mouth.
and of course, it's too messy,
icky.
Squiggly. I don't want to touch that.
It's too icky. Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Yes, I remember in Minnesota when I took my youngest daughter Kate out and she caught a northern, and so you know, and they're tough. They put up a little struggle, but yeah, when we finally reeled it in, she thought it was an eel.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. That's funny.
And we went up to the cousins and mm-hmm. we brought the fish with and cleaned it and fried it up, and there was no way she was having any of that fish.
Okay, now it's your turn to scale it. No, I don't think so.
No, I didn't even make them go anywhere near the cleaning of it. Mm-hmm. No, but they just, no, they weren't going to touch that fish. But I think, you know, some kind of, and obviously, you know, there's no fishing in the state parks and that kind of thing, but that's because the state park workers aren't there.
Right. What's the status of the state parks? They are closed?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
But, I mean, that's mainly because, you know, they work in a centralized area in a park. I mean, I think there's still DNR patrols and that kind of thing.
But, one would expect there's a, as we say, a skeleton force.
Right, exactly.
Just to maintain safety.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so I'm kind of curious because I do sense in his voice that there's going to be, quote, a modification ahead.
Of the stay-at-home order.
Of the stay-at-home order. And what that actually will entail. Now, I heard you before I came on speaking with my good friend.
And we're seeing some people come out right now.
Okay.
Some of the secondary staff, one of the, I think if I recognize the gentleman, medical staff, I want to say from the National Guard, but I could be wrong on that. But some people are coming out now. Again, we're waiting for people to arrive for the president's press conference daily briefing on the COVID-19 situation. Some officials have come out to sit down on the side. We're waiting for the rest. Sorry, they just came out. So
yeah, actually, your monitor is quicker than mine here.
Oh, okay.
So I, just as you were saying that, so feel free to take it ahead to the president when he arrives at the,
will do.
The podium. But I was saying that you were speaking with Pete McMurray at the end of his show about, you know, what is it going to look like in an opening. And I just have a hard time seeing, you know, restaurants really being able to reopen in a dynamic way.
Well, I think you've got a couple of things. One, especially restaurants with seating.
Right.
Who have X number of tables to make sure that they can make a profit. Their costs are astronomical, as one would think.
The margins are very small.
Very small. And if you start cutting down the number of tables you're able to use for sit-down dining, now you're cutting into that paying for your business. You also have to get the food stock back up to par, because restaurants have cut back on the amount of food that they are ordering, because if they are still operating, they're operating at pickup or delivery, and that business is not as strong as having a restaurant full of people. So the amount of food that they have ordered to come in is less, obviously, so they don't spend as much. Less than what they would have if it was a full house, so to speak. So we have to get that back up to speed, and the producers have to get back up to speed. Farmers have to get back up to speed. So there's a whole line of people that need to get back up to speed. So, for example, you could say we're open on Monday. You may not see things back to what we consider to be normal for a month or so.
Right. Well, and, you know, you touched on something very interesting, too, and I think this is something to take a look at as a step ahead, is the food supply chain.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've already heard reports about, you know, farmers dumping milk, euthanizing their livestock because they can't get it to market. You've got food that would normally go to restaurants. The restaurants aren't ordering it. And now some of these processors are trying to work to find ways to get them into the grocery supply chain rather than kind of the bulk meat that they would send to a restaurant.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there are a lot of food suppliers that only serve restaurants, food establishments. They don't go to the consumer in a grocery store.